A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Beya Daf Mem, Beya 40A, pagination, page 79, the last daf in the Masechta. And we begin from the Mishnah towards the bottom of the page, about 12 lines from the bottom in the middle of the line. A mashkin v'shochtin es hamidbarios. You are not allowed to give to drink and then shecht. The midbarios, from the word midbar, desert, meaning out in the open, free range animals, you wouldn't be allowed to shecht them on Yom Tov because they were not included in your intent of items that you were going to use on Yom Tov, and therefore they're muktzah. Avomashkin v'shochten es habaisos, but you would be allowed to give to drink and to shecht the ones that are, from the word bayis, homebound, domesticated animals, animals that are local, that come regularly back to the house, velanos, and that's where they stay over. Mishneh Berurah says it doesn't mean they come every single night, but generally, there's a certain pattern that they're still homebound, and therefore your intent is upon them, and you'd be allowed to shecht them on Yom Tov. Ve'eluhin baisos, the Mishnah explains, this is what's called a bias-oriented animal. Halanos be'ir, they stay over in the city, and that's what I mentioned from the Mishneh Berurah, Taf Tzadiches Yud Beis. How to define doesn't mean every single night. Midborios halonos be'efer, and the definition of midborios is that they stay overnight in the pasture. The Gemara wonders a very interesting thing, a diuk, a nuance in the Mishnah. Lama li lemeimar mashkin v'shochtin. Why does it have to say in our Mishnah, give to drink and then shecht? What's that concept mentioned that you're giving them to drink and then you're going to shecht them? Who cares about the drinking? Now, there is a Mishnah, Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, in this Masechta, which describes that you're not allowed to give to drink, you're not allowed to give food to an animal that is muktzah because we're worried that you're going to end up taking it and shechting it. So there is such a restriction, but what is going on that it's mentioned in this Mishnah? And the Gemara answers, Milsa agav urche kamash malon. The Mishnah is teaching you another topic, a piece of advice. The lishke inesh behem tevada lishchot, that giving to drink and shechting go together. You should give the animal to drink, a piece of advice, before you shecht it. Mishum sircha de moshcha, because of the adhesion of the hide. So Rashi learns that this is a very general piece of advice, that it will be easier to skin the animal if it drank before shechita. The Karban Hasanel refers us to a halacha in Shulchan Aruch Yeridei Lamites Yud Beis, in which we're told, Tov Lahashkos, it's a good idea to give the animal to drink before because of sirchos of the lung. Sometimes they're adhesions, and if a person is able to remove them easily, then he can ascertain that the lung is not punctured. And having the animal drink before the shechita makes it easier to remove these sirchos. And it has very significant halachic ramification, because if you're able to remove them, we may be able to permit an animal that otherwise would have been in a doubtful state of kashrus. So again, according to Rashi, it's a worldly piece of advice if you want to be able to skin the animal easily. The other Mefarshim are referring us to a halacha in Hilchas Trefos, where we learn that doing this method can actually benefit the accuracy of psak ruling on the kashrus of the animal. The Gemara launches into a discussion of exactly how to define animals that are midbarios and animals that are baisos, range animals or domesticated home-based animals, and therefore which ones are muktzah and which ones are not. And the Gemara asks a fascinating question regarding the opinion of Reb Shimon, who usually is more lenient regarding muktzah. Reb Shimon holds, for example, of chisaron kis, if an item was pushed away from use in your mind, you pushed it away because it would be a risky thing to use. You might take a loss if you used it. You only use it for meticulous work. That's muktzah on Shabbos. Or machmas gufo, Reb Shimon holds, that stones in your backyard. So that's also muktzah. No preparation at all. But generally speaking, Reb Shimon is more lenient than the other shitos regarding muktzah. The question would be over here, would he hold that such an animal, that's your animal, but it hasn't been around, would he hold of muktzah on such an animal or not? Specifically, the midborios, the range animals that are not expected to come back during this season. Until the season changes, we don't expect them to come back. What would Reb Shimon hold in such a case? Take a look at the Gemara one line up from the bottom. Umi isle l'rebi muktzah v'abomine Reb Shimon barebi merebi patzile tomorrow l'Reb Shimon mahu. The question was asked, what is the halacha regarding unripe dates? Rashi says that these dates are not expected to ever ripen. L'Reb Shimon mahu, what's the halacha according to Reb Shimon? They're on some level not usable under normal mind frame. Mahu, what's the halacha to eat from them on Yom Tif? Are they considered muktzah or not? Amalei, and he answered, Ein muktzah l'Reb Shimon, we don't hold muktzah according to Reb Shimon, ela grogros v'tzimukim belvad, except for figs and raisins. That's the only case that Reb Shimon would hold of muktzah by food. Let's look at Rashi, top of Amud Beis. Mitchila ru'uyin la'achila. Originally they were fit for eating. V'hu dacha osan biyadayim, and he purposely put them aside, la'alosam liyavesh, to let them dry. V'shuv einan ru'uyim ad shiyavshu, and they're not going to be ready to be eaten again. They're unappetizing until they dry properly. That's the case that Reb Shimon holds that it's muktzah, because it actually was a perfectly usable item. You purposely put it into a process that makes it unappetizing, anticipating that we're not going to use it until it becomes ready. That's the case that Reb Shimon holds of muktzah. What would he hold of in the case of the midbarios, these animals that are range-oriented and are not expected back? Iba yisema, the Gemara says, at least in one perspective, hani nami kegros vitzimukim dami, these animals are also like grogros and simukim, because the animal was here, and based on the style of raising them, you really pushed them away, so to speak. You set them up in a range process in which you don't expect to hear from them until weeks from now, months from now, and therefore, if perchance you come around the animal and want to shecht it, the Gemara in this answer is saying, according to Reb Shimon, it would be muktzah, just like grogros and tzemukim were items that were edible, usable. Theoretically, you could have decided that you wanted to have them, but you pushed them away into a pattern, into a process that illustrated your intent. Your intent was to put them off limits. The Gemara does give two other answers, and in one approach, Rebbe was only talking according to the opinion of the Rabbanon, but not that it was his personal opinion. Hadrunan Allah Meseches Beitza, we daven for the opportunity to learn the Masechta more thoroughly in the future. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.